The New Testament Epistle to the Romans, chapter 14. Every society has had its feuds and skirmishes. This even extends into churches. In the first century, here were several ways to cause church division. From chapter 14 of Romans, there were theological disputes, questions on dietary regulations, judgmental attitudes between subgroups, questions of calendars and holy days, doubts about Jesus' lordship or cleanliness practices, some holding to an inflexible legalism, and others plain sinful behavior. Well, what does this have to do with welcoming one another? There is a question of those who are weak in faith. What does that mean? Verse 1. Welcome those who are weak in faith, but not for the purpose of quarreling over opinions. To welcome one another, or to receive, who should be welcomed into the churches, as members or as speakers? The word weak here is sometimes translated sick, and faith here we do not mean personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but rather questions of conviction. Should we believe this or not? Elsewhere, Scripture says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Quarrels or dispute. Should we eat kosher food? Let's look at some dietary beliefs. Verse 2. Some believe in eating anything, whilst the weak eat only vegetables. There's our definition of weak in faith. Some, that is, this does not concern essential doctrines such as Jesus' death to forgive sins. So those who believe they can eat anything are those who are strong in faith. These contend that all foods are clean. Jesus said, "Whatever goes into a person enters not into his heart, but into his stomach, and is expelled." Thus he declared all foods to be clean. The weak, then, are those who lack full faith by limiting what they believe they should eat. To eat only vegetables might be a good choice, but for a wrong reason. Many churches in the West are known for their sumptuous dinners. Verse 3. Those who eat must not despise those who abstain, and those who abstain must not pass judgment on those who eat, for God has welcomed them, that is, them both. To despise is a present tense verb, in the negative meaning to stop despising. Likewise, to judge is to stop condemning. Remember, it is God who is everyone's Savior and Judge. James 4:12, there's only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. To welcome is the aorist tense, which often is present tense in meaning, for God welcomes them. Now, Roman society in the first century had many different social classes, including slaves, gladiators, freemen, and royalty. Verse 4. Who are you to pass judgment on slaves of another? It is before their own Lord that they stand or fall, and they will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Slaves, remember, are somebody else's property, according to Roman law. Their Lord, meaning their master, who had the right of life or death over a slave. When we say the Lord is able, we mean he is both just and powerful. Make them stand, a metaphor for being innocent. Our Lord has declared us innocent. However, the wicked will not stand in the judgment. Enjoying an Erev Shabbat meal. Concerning then Sabbaths and holy days. Verse 5. Some judge one day to be better than another, whilst others judge all days to be alike. Let all be fully convinced in their own minds. Well, it's a question of a day. Must we worship of a Friday, or a Saturday, or a Sunday? In Acts 20, we read that on the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, it was an evening, because days were counted from the previous evening. Therefore, this was Saturday evening, that is, the first half of Sunday. Be convinced, that is, have your reasons and be able to defend them by making up your own mind, that is, you understand your reasons. Well, what should we do about festival days? Those who observe the day observe it for the Lord. Also those who eat, eat for the Lord, since they give thanks to God, while those who abstain, abstain for the Lord and give thanks to God. The English preposition for translates the Greek dative case, which actually has no clear meaning. The Lord here, Jesus, we know to be Yahweh, the Son. Thanks translates Eucharis, which is a reply to grace. Yahweh said to me, "You are my Son." God then here is, so where is Jesus now? 8. If we live to the Lord, and if we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, so that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Peter declared, "He is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead." The preposition to, again, is the dative case with no clear meaning. For this end. Well, what is that end? Well, that Jesus be Lord. And this is both the living and the dead. For our life starts already and goes on forever. Are we dealing with an angry judge? Verse 7. Why do you pass judgment on your brother or sister? Or you, why do you despise your brother or sister? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. Why pass judgment? Because Satan's strategy is to divide us and conquer us. Brother or sister, meaning fellow Christians, who may hold very different opinions. However, God will judge all of us, regardless of our opinions or denomination. We will stand before the Bema, historically the raised platform on which a judge sat. Scripture says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one of us may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Since Christ died to forgive us all of our sin, if we have done good, we will receive a reward. If we have done evil, we will receive nothing. All will bow before God's judgment seat. Verse 11, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. A quotation from Isaiah 45:23. Paul continues, so then, each one of us will be held accountable, that is, to God. This translation says give praise. The Greek verb, exomologeo, however, means to admit wrongdoing. The Lord said in Isaiah 45, by myself I have sworn, to me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear. The same verb. As surely as God will hold us to give account, we will just as surely have to give to him an account. The account, then, is literally the word. We will have to speak up and defend ourselves. many are turning to Jesus in every country of the world as part of a great movement which began in the 16th century, which we may call evangelicalism. The distinctives in this movement include a salvation experience whereby many believers will be baptized or rebaptized. Evangelicals hold to the necessity of personal faith expressed through prayers to God and witness to others, holding to biblical authority and freedom to interpret the Bible. Furthermore, freedom of conscience to decide what we will believe, and freedom of association, joining or starting new churches, with a commitment to social mercy, legal justice, and racial equality. Rather than appointed priests, we have many lay ministers whom we ourselves choose or dismiss. We hold to a separation of church and state. We want neither the government to control the churches nor the churches to dictate to the government. Meanwhile, we pursue national and international missions. What has this to do with drowning? Verse 13, let us therefore no longer pass judgment on one another, but resolve instead never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother or sister. Well, we do not judge. The verb here, krino, means to decide something on behalf of others or about others, but rather to resolve, it's the same verb, to decide for ourselves. A stumbling block is anything that might cause offense or to which others will take offense, nor a hindrance, that is, to tempt others to commit what they believe to be a sin. Jesus said, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea than that he should cause one of these little ones to sin. Well, what shall we do with unclean food? Indeed, in the Bible, there were clean and unclean foods. Verse 14, I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who considers it to be unclean. Paul was persuaded, that is, he knew it to be true, that all foods are clean, meaning they are acceptable to God. As we read earlier, Jesus declared all foods to be clean, whereas those that were unclean had been forbidden by God for Israelites. If we consider something unclean, that means we reckon it, we think it, we assume it, we believe it to be so. Well, there are some foods that, whilst they may be clean, we find disgusting. 15. If your brother or sister is distressed by what you eat, then you are no longer walking in love. So do not let what you eat cause the ruin of one for whom Christ died. Do not let your good be slandered. Distress. We cause distress in others when we flaunt what we ourselves eat. How do you ruin another? By leading them to violate their own conscience. Even if, for me, it is good. That is, I exercise my freedom of conscience. Let others do the same. Then worship freely. 17. For the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The one who serves Christ in this way is acceptable to God and has human approval. God's kingdom, that is, wherever we are seeking to obey God, the Holy Spirit, we understand, is the indwelling God himself, Yahweh the Spirit, and we are acceptable regardless of which days we keep or which diet we adopt. Paul said, discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable. The approval of humans, meaning we have met their standards. If they abstain from food, we will abstain from the same food when we are with them. Yes, the evangelical movement is spreading across nations and continents. So then, what shall we do? 19. Let us then pursue what makes for peace and mutual upbuilding. Do not, for the sake of food, destroy the work of God. Peace, meaning harmonious relations, upbuilding, that which leads to faithful, joyful obedience to Jesus. How do you destroy? How do you undo or stymie someone else's growth? What is the work of God? It is our fellow Christians. We may be free to eat, but it is not always wise to do so. Everything is indeed clean, but it is wrong to make someone stumble by what we eat. It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that makes your brother or sister stumble if they think what we're doing is wrong, but they may do so because we encourage them. Clean, remember, is that which is acceptable to God. When he says wrong to make one stumble, he means when they eat what we eat. To be good means to be beautiful, and in this case, to refrain from eating. And the second term, to make a brother or sister stumble, is a different word which means to fall, as to fall into sin. Why is prison food making United States inmates disproportionately sick? 22. Hold the conviction that you have as your own before God. Blessed are those who do not condemn themselves because of what they approve. We are to hold the conviction. The term here is pistis, sometimes translated faith, but means faithfulness or loyalty. We can have our own convictions, that which we believe and practice regarding questionable matters. How do we condemn ourselves? By haranguing others. And what do we prove? That which God has revealed to be his will. Well, what do we do when we're in doubt? 23. But those who have doubts are condemned if they eat because they do not act from faith. For whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. Doubts, that is, if we hesitate over any questionable matter, we know we're condemned when we begin to feel shame or guilt because we did not act on our convictions. So sin, then, is any selfish act or attitude, which John called lawlessness. John also said there are sins which lead to everlasting death, and other sins which do not lead to death, only to a sense of condemnation. We conclude with some suggestions on how to cause Christians to sin. Start by splitting their churches over disputed issues such as days, foods, or systematic theologies, or entice them to violate their own convictions. Definitely cast doubt on the Old Testament or New Testament scriptures. Teach clearly that Jesus was not the Messiah, or teach that Jesus was only human. Oh, and help them rationalize their immoral practices. Be sure also to neglect the hungry at church meals, for which many got sick and died. And when you meet together or dine together, serve food that's full of sugar, refined carbohydrates, and inflammatory seed oils. Well, for next time, please read in advance Romans chapter 15 in any language or version of your choice.